powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Jeff Lieber, Divisional Vice President of the East for APC. Jeff, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Thanks, Corey. Glad to be here.
Now, before we get into this episode, which I'm really digging because we're already through, you know, NADA, right? I want to look at the outlook of auto, which this is going to be titled The Outlook of Auto 2023 and Beyond. Before we get into this episode, can you tell our listeners a little bit about you? What got you to this point in your career? And how long have you been in the auto industry?
Sure. So I was an aspiring golfer. I had a brother who had was buying into a car dealership who kind of convinced me that the auto business was going to be a better career for me than trying to become a golf professional. So I started working in the parts department, working at the service desk, working on the floor as a salesman, kind of every department to learn it from that side of it. We ended up doubling down two or three times, ended up with seven franchises and an auto mall. And that was a 30-year history. 2008, we sold our stores. I continued to be a GM for a friend of mine with three other stores. So a total of 40 years on the dealership side of it. And then I finally learned there was another side of the business, which is the agent side, administrator side. And I've been 3 years with APC now, having a lot of fun pointing stuff out to dealers that I frankly missed when I was one.
What does APC do?
So we try to give dealers an antidote to the robocallers and the car shields of the world that are out there stealing their customers every day. So we help a dealer do their own follow-up program, which is what they should be doing. And we create it for them as their branding. There's no cost associated with it, and they pick up a lot of extra customers that can remain in coverage because they're buying vehicle service contracts after the fact.
That's great, and you're right. We see those types of companies not only on the TV, but I probably get a handful of them throughout the course of every single day.
Right. Well, there's more and more companies jumping in for a reason. They're successful. It's a $13 billion industry that the dealers aren't really aware is happening.
Wow. All right. Well, let's jump into this episode, which I believe is tailor-made for you. Are there any constants that you've seen over your 40 plus years of being in this industry?
Yeah, the constant is change. I mean, I think dealers are amongst the best businessmen you could have. They have to adapt on a daily basis for all the different angles that things come at them, from legal, from their manufacturers, from consumers being more educated, down to the weather when you're in the north and you hit wintertime.
Yeah. I mean, even so, the only real constant is change. You're absolutely right. Jeff, what do you see as a current challenge for the dealership?
Well, I think the challenges are coming from the same place they always do. There's politics and government regulation, these new safeguard rules that are being put in place that throw dealers into a bit of chaos as to how they can be compliant. The manufacturers are always overstepping themselves, as far as I'm concerned, and not really seeing the true value that their dealers have for the consumer.
Yeah, I mean, so I've never owned a store. I've worked at plenty of dealerships, but I've got to think from seeing it from my point of view is that the manufacturer is always changing something, right? And then you got government that's always trying to improve, right? How the manufacturer builds these cars. So the dealer has to really adapt very quickly. And then the customer also is kind of stuck there going, well, I like this car. I like the older version better. Why can't I have the older version, right? So there's so much in play with these current challenges. And then, so how do the dealers stay within the times of what's going on currently and to continue to improve? How do they do that?
That's a great question that they have to answer every day. You know, I didn't even touch on the fact that they're probably doing it with a third less employees now than they had at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
They just have to, I mean, they have their finger on the pulse every day. When you have consumers walking in your door every day, they're putting it front and center in front of you, what they expect. And their expectations are getting higher and higher and higher. If the manufacturer is stepping in and saying, hey, we want to sell the car direct to you, Mr. Consumer. Well, the only way the dealer can establish his value is by showing that customer every day in and day out what it is that they add to the equation.
Yeah. So let's take that, for instance. You know, you've got the manufacturer saying you can buy it direct from us, right? And then you have the dealer who's setting up their own brand of business, right? They have other vendors, maybe like yourself or like National Auto Care, that really helps keep them in tune with how the market is changing locally or regionally, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were a dealer, who would you rely on to kind of keep you up to date on things that are changing outside of their dealership?
That's a great question. If you ask me one of the blind spots I had as a dealer, it's that you don't know everything that's out there that's available to you. So you need vendors who are going to get your attention when they come in monthly, let's say, and tell you, hey, here's what you're missing. A dealer walks in the door every day. He may have a customer with a concern. He might have an employee with a concern. You don't know what you're going to walk into. So you have your head down and you're getting through every day the best that you can. And you need somebody that's outside that walks in and says, hey, you're missing out on this opportunity. We can provide that for you and add value to what you're, you know, doing for your customers. So they need outside help just to keep them aware of what's available.
Yeah, I like that perspective. So now that let's take your dealer principal owner hat off for a second. You come in and sit down and talk to an owner. What are some things that you're seeing in the marketplace that a typical dealership can do to improve and get a bigger market share, retain not only that customer, but the employees as well?
Well, you have to understand that the changing work environment for employees, right? Everybody was working remotely. Everybody was having more time with their families. So I think number one, it's all about having good employees. What keeps customers loyal is that when they walk in to a store, they're being handled properly. There's somebody there that understands their needs and concerns. You have to have highly motivated people to do that every day, because that conversation might start with a problem. So you need problem solvers working for you. How do you keep them? Well, I think you need to have flexible schedules. You have to have incentivized pay plans that steer them in the direction that they need to go, and they need to feel valued. If you have the right staff, then they are going to adapt to what the dealer wants to communicate to his customers, is that we are here to take care of anything that has to do with your driving experience. And that's okay. Where the customer loyalty comes from. And once the customers are loyal, your business is going to continue to grow, and it's not going to, you know, be taken by somebody else. And agents and administrators are there to keep dealers knowing what tools are available for their employees to use to keep those customers loyal.
I like that. So customer experience is very important to me for what, you know, my part and role with National Auto Care is. The experience, how they felt when they left the dealership, means everything, because we want to keep continuing to have that feeling, right? If you think of going to the dealership as, I'd rather go have a root canal, that's not a good feeling, right? So what should dealers be focused on as this evolution continues? Because we're always going to be pushing the envelope, right?
Right. It's funny, and this isn't a commercial for you, but the thing that dealers are the worst at is training their people. So when they can call on somebody like you to call that time out and say, even though you have this job you could be working on in the shop, listen, take this hour and a half, get some perspective on what it is you're doing instead of just grinding every day. So I think having a commitment to training, and I can't say when I was a dealer I did, but I certainly see it from the outside now, that you need to call. It's kind of like a coach calling timeout, get people to the sidelines, you know, and talk about what you want to do next. And that's what you provide. And I think NAC is fantastic at keeping you as a constant out there rotating amongst all their dealers.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. But I think you're right. I think as I go in to see these dealerships, it's, you know, they don't have a written play. If you go back to the sports, they don't have a process written of, hey, if we're in this situation, this is how we handle it. Or this is our process of how we greet the customer, how we cash the customer out, how we keep the customer coming back. They don't have a written play that's just in somebody's head, and not everybody understands it or has their own variation of it. So yeah, having everybody be on the same page, I believe you're absolutely right. That continues training to continue to improve, even if it's 10%, it's 10% better than it was yesterday, right? And that's going to keep your employees loyal, which is going to, at the end result, is going to give the customer that feeling that, hey, this was fun, right? I want to have that feeling. This is good. I'd rather be at the dealership than go to the root canal, right? So that evolution of being continuous and focusing on just one little thing can increase that.
And training feeds it, because it's a high turnover business by nature. And the more you train your employees, the more they're going to feel confident in what they do and that they're supported and they'll stay. So it's kind of like the less training you do, the more turnover you have and the more training that's necessary.
So if we talk about the outlook of going from 2023 and beyond, if the dealership just takes and focuses on, you know, improving their technology and training both sales, service, parts, what are some ways you see for them to really accomplish that, to really look at the end of the day and say, hey, we did all this stuff, we listened to what Jeff said, and here's our ROI for doing these three things?
Well, number one, I would say keep an open mind, okay? When you're stuck in the game and you're on the field, it's hard to always realize that there's something else for you to hear about. So take the time once or twice a month to hear about some new ideas. Then I would say commitment and putting it on a schedule and scheduling your people in such a way that they can be trained will cover that piece of it. And they need to be vocal with their manufacturers, and I think vocal with media to help consumers understand what their role is. They're there to protect the consumer from the manufacturer sometimes. Think about when you call a big company, whether it be for your phone, whether it be for something in your home. How hard is it to get to somebody who's going to take up your cause if you have an issue? Right. You complain, really, right? I spent a half a day on the phone. This one put me on hold. This one went there. Well, imagine a car transaction where you didn't have somebody you could walk in, get in front of that would plead your case, and you're trying to deal with just a major manufacturer.
Yeah, that's a great point. I love that. So earlier you talked about, you know, selling direct to the consumer, and I've heard this quite a bit, and it's the, you know, the Teslas, right? He found a loophole into selling directly to consumers, doesn't have to have a dealership. You know, do you think the dealership model will survive this?
100% talk? I do.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. As long as they continue to show value to the consumer, they will survive. They are embedded in their communities. They spend more money on charity. I just came back from a huge charity event that dealers were sponsoring. They are a necessary piece, which is why they've lasted for over 100 years. And executives that come and go at manufacturers, they all have their new brilliant idea how they're going to reinvent the wheel. The wheel is still around, and dealers are always going to be a necessary component to deal with the consumer on a daily basis with whatever their needs are.
Yeah. So, I mean, so right now, if you're a dealership listening and you think about what Jeff just said, value. If you're not bringing value every day in your respective community, you might want to start doing that now, right?
Absolutely.
Because because we all know that, and we went through this in with COVID, is a lot of things changed and not all of it was brought on by COVID, but some of it was. We went through where employees were furloughed or let go, laid off, however you want to classify it. But in the middle of all that, the customer changed, right? The younger customers got a little older. Their wants and needs and their value proposition was different. They liked the model of Amazon, right? Tesla, right? But people like me, and I'm in my mid-40s, I'll say that. I kind of like it both ways. I do shop a lot on Amazon. I love Amazon. But there's that thing that I like where I'm talking with somebody, right? I'm touching it. I'm feeling it, right? All those things, we're creatures that have to be with other people, right? When we were all closed up and you couldn't go anywhere, right? You had to wear a mask if you did go someplace. We didn't like it, right? So I'm kind of that in between person that likes. I love technology. For Christmas shopping, I did the majority on Amazon, right? But there was some that I still went to the traditional stores and picked out what I wanted. Now, with those customers changing, the dealership has to evolve with that as well. Are they going to be allowed to do that if the manufacturer goes with just, we're going to hold on to all the EVs and we're going to sell them direct to consumers?
I will ask you a simple question. You're in dealerships every day. Do you think the consumer today has a better experience with a car dealer than he had 2 years ago?
Oh, yes.
So there's your answer, that they can evolve quicker than a manufacturer can evolve. And now you have a manufacturer who's saying, because of politics, we're going to be all EV by 2035. Well, is the consumer ready for that? Are we considering what the consumer wants? When this all started, EVs were less than 10% of the market. Yeah. So now you're a dealer and you're saying, well, wait a minute, I know what my consumers want. Maybe they want a hybrid for a while where they can play it both ways. That's why the dealer is necessary, because he's the real world person out there who's not sitting in the 44th floor in a big building deciding what consumers want.
Right.
He knows. And think of it this way, right? When you go to buy your wife jewelry, you go to buy furniture, how often are you confident of who you're dealing with? Everybody wants a car guy. Mm-hmm. You're my car guy. I still have people 30 years later who call me up and say, I trust you. You always took care of me. What should I do car-wise? And there's not many other things that you can go buy where you can develop that.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I love how you turned that around and asked me that question, because you're absolutely right. They did change really rapidly, very quickly, when all that hit. And they are more focused on giving the customer a great experience. It's talked about every time I go into the dealership when I'm there for training or just doing a consulting. They're talking about how can we better serve our customers. So thanks for sharing that. That was a great perspective. So Jeff, right up against the time, what are your three takeaways that people listening, whether they're an owner, a GM, a service manager, a service advisor, or even an agent, can take away from this episode in your mind?
Everybody's got to bring value to the equation. So for administrators and agents, make sure you are forcing your dealers to listen to new ideas that can help them take care of the customer. From the dealer side, it's all about having the right talent in the store. If you have the right talent in the store that understands those customer concerns, water that plant, train them, incentivize them, keep your good people, and they will keep your good customers.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Jeff. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends and family into your establishment, then you've got the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Jeff, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. Anytime, Corey.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.